Today's daf is daf yud in bracha. However, unfortunately, we only got up to yesterday tet amud beit, and I believe. Yes. Okay. Great. So three lines up from the long lines. Efi motzi samir. So yesterday we learned of the importance of simichut geula l'tfilah. And the idea over here is that there were two issues, actually. Smichut gula tefillah, and also the zman of tefillah, which is now connected to zman kriyat shema, when we talk about vatikin. Because the vatikin are mitpalel right at Netzach Amah. And so the eitzah that the Gemara has is to put off the kriyat shema until the end of the period between Alot HaShachar and Netzach Amah, and say it right before sunrise, so that as you say the bracha of Gaal Yisrael, you're now ready to begin with the tefillah. The Rashi brings elsewhere, Yerushalmi, that's Masbir, that the concept of the geula, the way that it's brought here with Kriyat Shema, is that it's basically Shevach V'Hodaya on the geula. He's back. On geulat Mitzrayim. On geulat Mitzrayim. And somebody who's not Masmir geula letfilah, I think this is open. Not Masmir geula letfilah, is the Mahadavad Domeh. Somebody knocks on the door of a melech, gets the melech up, and the melech comes, and then when he opens the door, there's nobody there. So too, the hachona for the tefillah is basically kriyat shema birchotea, to be involved in recognition of the tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in Geula. So then that's the fundamental time in which a person can daven. If he doesn't make preparations, he's talking to a closed door, and if he walks away after the Geula, he's walking away before the door opens. So therefore, we now need to come to the issue, which actually we've raised before, as to how it's possible to do a smichut geula tefillah, considering that the extensions of the geula, in terms of the bracha of hashkivenu at night, or the extensions of the tefillah, in terms of the Hashem Svatai Tiftach, seem to make it impossible to actually ever do a geula tefillah. So he asks the Gemara today three lines above the big lines, Hechi Motzi Somech, but how is it possible to do Semichut Geula L'Tfilah? Om Rabbi Yochanan, V'atechilahu Omer Hashem Svatai Tiftach, before beginning Shmona Esrei, a person should say Hashem Svatai Tiftach, and upon conclusion of the Brichot Shmona Esrei, he should say Yihyu L'Ratzonim Lefi. Well, says Rabbi Elazar, I guess that Rabbi Yochanan only meant to do that B'Tfilah Shel Arvit, we should do that at nighttime, and that way, in the day when smichut geula tefillah is important, you don't say Hashem svatai tiptach. Wait, that's impossible. It was Rabbi Yochanan himself who said that you need to be smichut geula tefillah for arvit as well. So how could he? What difference would it have made? Even if Rabbi Yochanan suggests that the amira of Hashem svatai tiptach only by arvit, it would violate his own halacha. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan ezel ben olam haba. So you haven't answered anything. When do you say Hashem Svatai Tiftach? You can't say it in the morning, you can't say it in the evening, because otherwise you can't do Smichut Geula L'Tvila. You know what? You could say it at Mincha. Say it at Tvilat HaMincha, because there's no Geula. So you don't lose anything by saying Hashem Svatai Tiftach. As a matter of fact, we have, some people have that minhag to say Kishem Hashem Ekrav, which of course is only said by Mincha for precisely this reason. Anywhere else, it would be a hefsek between the Shmon Esrei and the Birchot Kriyat Shema. Rav Ashi says the whole thing is really not a problem at all, because Afil Tema Akul, who actually could say Hashem Svatai Tiftach on all of your tefillot, because v'kivan dekava'uha rabbanan ba'tefillah ketefillah richta damya. Once the rabbanan would kovea it, has an introduction to tefillah that's built into every tefillah, it becomes simply an extension of tefillah, and now is like the beginning of tefillah. So now it reads, if you say Gaal Yisrael, as soon as you open the words Hashem Svatai Tiftach, you're already beginning your tefillah, and that is smichut geula l'tefillah. It's not considered to be a hefsek, in the same way that other things are not considered to be a chatzitza, that's between a thing itself and an extension. So too, in terms of hefsek, in time, it's not considered to be a hefsek. The Elotei Mahachi, if you don't believe that reasoning is true, that an extension of an existing bracha or tefillah is viewed as part of it, so arvit hechi matzi samech, then by definition you could never do smichut tefillah when it comes to arvit, because abay l'mema hashkivenu. You're always going to have to say hashkivenu because that's part of birchot kriyat shema. And therefore, you're never going to be able, after you say Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Yisrael, you're never going to be able to say Baruch Atah Hashem for Shmoneh Esrei, you're going to have to say Hashkivenu. So clearly, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's an inyan of Smichut Geula L'Tfilah de Arvit, It's got to be explained by the fact, Ella, Kivan de Takinu Rabbanan Hashkivenu, we view Hashkivenu as basically an extension of the idea of Yula, so we have the overall Baruch HaTashem Gal Yisrael, and then at the end we have the Yeshuat Yisrael, Midei Mazikim, Midei Tzaron, and so on and so much extends even to an individual person upon his bed. Actually, we could see from the way in which we change the Baruch of Arvit when it comes to Shabbos that's the concept, because there we talk about the Shechina being porous over Yerushalayim, and so it's an extension of the idea of Gula, ultimately. It's still not the Baruch of Gula, it's the Baruch of Hashem Gal Yisrael. Okay, so you're right in the same way of saying that Hashem Svatai Kiftach is not precisely the Baruch of Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoteinu, but in Afinami, it's an extension of that idea. Says Rav Ashi, it's clear that the concept is correct, and if it's correct in Arvit, why shouldn't it be correct all around? But since it's Rabbi Yochanan who says the idea of Hashem Svatai Tiftach, and it's Rabbi Yochanan who says the Chiyav of Gula, Smirchas Gula, the Tefillah ba'Arvit, I think it's stretching it a bit to say the only time he said Hashem Svatai Tiftach is in Mincha. Michte. Says the Gemara, but how about the other part? I mean, we've been talking about the Hashem Svatai Tiftach. The words Yula Ratzon Imrei Fi, I mean, does that necessarily mean that when a person finishes, the way Rabbi Yochanan says, when he finishes his Tefillah, he should now look back, so to speak, and say, may God accept the words that I have just spoken. Why can't it be a tefillah? Yula ratzon imrei pi, may God accept the words I am about to speak. That makes just as much sense. And so why, if we are going anyway, we're going to be koveya, Hashem svatai tiftach at the beginning of the tefillah, why shouldn't we already say this tefillah, yula ratzon imrei pi, so that we open up our mouths to begin tefillah with a bakasha, that this should be a zman of kabbalah tefillah. Who's to say it comes afterwards? So michte. Look, I mean, look at it. This word yula ratzon imrei pi, I mean, there's two ways to read it. Mashmala besof. But it's also mashmana ikara. In other words, from the beginning, the be'ina lemeimer. What I would like to say now, I'm asking you to accept. So my taina taknuhu rabbanan li'achar shmoneh esrei brachot. Why mashmana ikara? Why would rabbanan mitaken Hashem svatai tiftach only at the end of shmoneh esrei, the way Rabbi Yochanan says? Om Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, ho'il velo amro David ele la'achar shmoneh esrei parshiyot. This, again, you have to know that the Gemara is organized on many, many different levels. So what appears to be a constant tangent that we go off on is always very well planned. There's always a segue to the tangent. We're about to go off on a long tangent of understanding David's relationship to Sefer Tehillim and the things that it's Moranis to, and very broad connections between Tehillim and the ideas that are embedded in Kriyat Shema and Emunah in general. The segue to Tehillim, you notice that the entire Daf Dalet was basically dedicated to David. All of the elements of Chatzot were triggered by the involvement of David in Chatzot, which itself was Benogeah, his poetry, which was Sefer Tehillim, which at the beginning of Chatzot. So the transition now from this Yula Ratzon Imrei Fi, which was said by David, all of a sudden makes its way, breaks out into the world of Tefillah that we're talking about, and it turns out that we're going to say something that on the surface appears exceedingly strange, and which turns out to be a trigger for a broad discussion of various elements of Tehillim. So Omer Avieda Breda Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, ho'il velo amro David ela la'achar shmonah esrei parshiyot, lefichach tifno rabbanan la'achar shmonah esrei brachot. Since we find the words Yul Ratzon Imrei Fi at the end of the 18th Tehillah, therefore we should say it also at the end of the 18th Bracha. Wait a minute. We don't find it at the end of the 18th Tehillah. We find it at the end of the 19th Tehillah. So that's strange. Of course, it's also strange at the 18th Bracha, actually the 19th Bracha, but we won't talk about that right now. So, Ashrei Ha'ish, the Lama Rak Shugoyim Chada Parashahi. In fact, what we have as numbers 1 and 2 in Sefer Tehillim is actually 1a and 1b. Because the first Tehillah is meant to be, to extend from Ashrei Ha'ish to Ashrei Kocho Sebo. So, Ashrei Ha'ish, the Lama Rak Shugoyim Chada Parashahi. It's all one parasha. Baruch And I'll prove this to you. Because Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said, Me'avishalosh parshiyot amar David velo amar halleluka. Incredibly, if you ask anybody what's the most fundamental word in Tehillim, they're always going to say, well, it's hallelujah. But actually, until Perek 104, it never occurs once, which is astounding. So the first time that we find the word halleluka appearing is Achira Adem Matalatan Shor Rishayim. David did not say that word until he got to the point at which he foresaw the end of evil, of evil doers. And only at that point he said, Borchin Avshet Hashem Aluka. Now, I ask you, if you'll take a look in your Tehillim, you will find that Borchin Avshet Hashem Aluka said at the end of Tehillah 104, not Tehillah 103. How do you explain this? Ela Shema Mina Ashrei Yishvala Marot Shugoyim Chada Parashai. Obviously, we're missing over here something, because we've split something into two. It's this that we split into two. I'll show you why I'm saying it's this one, and I'll explain to you in a minute. But clearly, we've got two where there's really only one, and therefore we call 103, 104. Which of the two? It's clearly the first two. The Yom Rav Shmuel Ben Achmini. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Parasha Shaitach Habival David, Patach Baba Ashrei V'Siyem Baba Ashrei. Every time David really felt special about a piece of poetry that he had written, he opened with Ashrei and he ended with the words Ashrei. As we see, Patach Ba Ashrei, which is the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish, V'Siyem Ba Ashrei, which is the last pasuk of Tehillah Beit, Dichtiv Ashrei Kol Chosebo. Now, if it's two separate poems, it doesn't make sense to say he began and ended. Therefore, it's clear that we're taking for granted that it's actually one poem. Of course, as Tosis points out, it's very interesting that every time David liked the poem, that he started with Ashrei and ended with Ashrei, because I guess he didn't like his poetry, since it's the only poem that he ever started with Ashrei and ended with Ashrei. So what kind of crazy statement is that? Every poem that he liked, he doesn't mean Ashrei. He means that the device of beginning and closing with a concept is what he would always use on things that really he felt very special about. So it doesn't necessarily mean Ashrei. It could mean Hallelujah. We find very often he begins and ends with Hallelujah, or with Tehillah. Starts with the concept of Tehillah and closes with the concept of Tehillah. Now that's a literary device, but it's a literary device that shows you that I'm talking about one theme that I want you to catch from beginning to end. So it's Chaviva Allah. And therefore we use this as an example. But in any event, in terms of our understanding here, we recognize that in the same way that Shemona Esrei is both Shemona Esrei and Tisha Esrei, because of the Birkat Haminim, which of course has to do with Mapalatam Sharushaim, which is Boruch Hinavshi, 18 turns into 19, and so too does 18 turn into 19 in Sefer Tehillim, and close with the words Yul Ratzon. Now, there were these juvenile delinquents in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood. Now, they come at Sarah Lake, Tuva, and they basically, they pulled down the whole Sviva. This would bother him tremendously. And so Rabbi Meir used to pray for them that they should die, because that would be rachamim to get them out of the world. So I think, oh boy, Rabbi Meir, rachamim, alekech delimuta. Omrele Bruria Devita, so his wife Bruria said to him, understand what the logic is in that. My da'atcha, why are you praying for people to die? I mean, I assume it's because you saw David HaMelech said in his prayers, he tamu chata'im. So you're assuming that. David said, these chata'im should drop dead. So you're saying the same thing. Or as Rav Avadi Yosef was quoted as having said, these rishayim should drop dead. The problem is, David never said that. You're not reading the pasuk carefully. What David HaMelech actually said, he never said, yitamu chot'im. He said, chata'im. Chata'im implies that which causes chait, maybe lashon of the Yetzer Hara, as Rashi says. So let's get rid of the Yetzer Hara, then there won't be any chataim. What are you? I mean, if you're going to pray, you might as well pray for the end of evil, not for the end of evildoers, right? So therefore, I would say, I mean, if you take a look at the context, as Bruria, it's clear that that's true, because to say itamu chataim in order to reshoim odeinam is a little bit, to say the least, a tautology over here. I mean, get rid of all the Rishayim, and then there will be no Rishayim. Thank you very much. That's what getting rid of Rishayim means. I mean, we're running around in circles here. Then there will be no Rishayim because you got rid of the Rishayim. So what, how could it mean Rishayim? But the point is that I'm right. Chataim should be gotten rid of. Then Rishayim, there won't be any Rishayim, but not that you're dealing directly with the Rishayim. What I would suggest is, what you should do is, be mitfalo for them, that they do teshuva, which will get rid of the evil. And then Rishayim, see? So he did that. Boy, rach me'aluyah, and indeed they did tshuva, and they all lived happily ever after. Omalahut Siduki Levruria, just in case you think that Ruria was a bleeding heart, although anybody who knows anything else about her knows she was no bleeding heart. But we want to know a little other story with Ruria, where some Siduki started up with her. And he said to her, now, it says, Roni Akara lo yalada. Let the one who had no children be happy. Does that make sense? I mean, Mishun de lo yalada Roni, but because, I mean, is this the point when you're trying to say Yerushalayim should be Smecha? So you want to mention at that moment, be Smecha, because you're an Akara lo yalada. But don't say it. So what does it mean? Amar Lo, you're an idiot. Shat, you're what a jerk. Shmuel is safe for the Kofi. Read the end of the pasuk, okay? It says, Rabim b'nei shomimam b'nei be'ula. Because there are more children to the one who was shomemet all of the years, which was Yerushalayim, that was ki'ilu, a lo yalada, and suddenly discovers that she has millions of children that she didn't even know about, and opposes that to the B'nai B'ula, all of the Goyim that have had everything going for them all the years. So that obviously is the context of saying, Roni Akara lo yalada, you Yerushalayim who believed that she was an Isha Akara, had no children, suddenly turns around and discovers that she has a vast nation. But you know why it mentions Akara lo yalada? I'll tell you why. Because we got to remember the good part. A certain kind of people were happy that Yerushalayim never had. Idiots like you! So my Akara lo yalada, Rani, Knesset Yisrael, Shetomala, Isha Akara, Shelo yalada, Banim legeinam. I mean, what do we need children that go straight to hell for? Like you, Omale Yahu Tzeduki and Rebbe Abu. A certain Tzeduki asked Rebbe Abu, you know, I mean, it's clear that Sefer Tehillim was a random collection by some later editor of poems who wasn't very good at editing, because he got everything out of order. I mean, look, clearly, I mean, we have two Tehillim. Mizmor leDavid beBarchol mipnei Avshalom beno. And this, of course, we've mentioned a few times already here in the Masapa, this idea relating the flight from Avshalom to the idea of Mechemet Gog u'Magog we had earlier. So this is right up at the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, and much later it says leDavid mikhtam beBarchol mipnei Shaul. How do you explain that we should wait some 50-some parshiot before getting to the story of Shaul? I ask you, which one came first, huh? I ma'aseh havi bereisha. I mean, he clearly, when he was hiding out from Shaul, it was long before he even became king. I mean, so how could we have the story of running away from Avshalom first? Michti ma'aseh shaul havi bereisha. Write it, bereisha. I mean, organize the work at least. Omales, Rabbi Abu told him, aton de lo dar shiton smuchin kashelachu. People like you, who have no sense of structure. So the only structure you could conceive of is the childish flow of time in your own objective lives. So kashelechu, that view is a problem. And non the darshinan smuchim, but to us, where the structure is a conceptual one, and where something is placed next to something else for a particular reason, to us it's not a problem. How do we know that structure of putting something next to something else conceptually is that order that is more important than chronology? And this is talking about ne'emanim kol pikudav, it says. All the pikudei HaKadosh Baruch Hu are ne'emanim smuchim la'ad la'olam. So in other words, kol pikudav are emet v'yashar, and as Rashi says, lo davar reik. It's not for no reason. It's the same as the pikudei Hashem is the structure of the pikudei Hashem. As a matter of fact, there's a fantastic medrash that says that the reason that we weren't given to understand openly the structure of the Torah is because if we would, we would then be able to know too much, perhaps do miracles and so on, and that's not a healthy thing. So we need to gradually, I mean, it's true, of course, in terms of nature. As we discover the structure of nature, we end up doing miracles. Certainly the miracles of science, anybody was sworn, are pure and absolute miracles, right? So to the structure of Torah. And therefore, one of the hints that we have is smuchim. What is the reason to put it together with Gog u'Magog? And lama nisvecha parshat Avshalom leparshat Gog u'Magog instead of chronologically after the story of Shaul? Because at Gog u'Magog, what we have basically is a world that turns against God. So in Yom HaLecha Adam, the person will say to you, is humanity capable of psychologically proclaiming God to be dead? I mean, it's not conceivable. They always need their gods. Childs need their parents too. Elohavi, these things happen. Okay, so Hokanami Havi, this too will happen, that humanity as a whole would be able to turn against God. My dichtiv. I don't know, people just sit around here and they think this is the most astounding midrashim that has such a profound insights into human history. Right. My dichtiv pia patcha bechokma v'torat chesed aleshona. So who is he referring to? Shlomo HaMelech talks about the beauty. I mean, what we think is about Eshet Chayil and so on, but Eshet Chayil, I mean, that was a remez to Torah itself. It was called Eshet Chayil because the Torah is nicknamed B'memchet Dvarim, Chayil is B'memchet. So the power of Kniyat HaTorah is like an Eshet Chayil. We're supposed to relate the Torah as to a woman with love, passion, desire, not the way people are sitting here. So why is it that we talk about the Chochmah of Torah? What particular thing was he referring to if Torah as a whole is all about passion? So what's this particular, it's all about Chochmah. So what's this particular Chochmah? You know who he was thinking about? He was thinking about his dad. Because here's a man, this person responded to five different stages in his life, recognized them as clear-cut stages, and saw each one of them as unique and demanding a different poetic response. The first thing is that even as an embryo, there's something special about that time, as we saw earlier in Nida. When a person starts talking about my innards, it's because he's sensitive to innards. In other words, to a person who is still being supported, you know, on life support systems within someone's body as an incubator, recognizes the chashivut of kravai. Yatzala avir olam, when he was born, Nishtaker the Kochavim u'mazalot, he opened up his eyes and saw the universe in which he's in, and was astounded. We are Mashira. Shenema Borcho Hashem Malachav Giborei Koach Osei Devaro Lishmoa Bekol Devaro Borcho Hashem Kol Tzva'av, which is always a reference to the Kochavim and the Mazalos, and he saw the constellations and stars, and he sang. Yanak Mishidei Imo. And then the next stage of his life was dependency on his mother, which he was nursing from her breast. V'nistakel v'dader, and he looked at her breasts, and he sang about breasts. V'am Hashira. Shema Borchi Nafshi Et Hashem V'al Tishkechi Kol Gimulav. Gimulav, of course, is a play on words. That's Gimulav in terms of Gimila, which is weaning. That's the process of nursing. And it also means, in general, all of the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me. So what did he see is the common denominator between the Gimulav and his own Gimila? Michael Gimulav. Omer Rabbi Agur She'asala Dadim D'makom Bina. He appreciated, as an infant, that his mother's breasts were on her chest, as opposed to animals where they're closer down to areas that are not as clean. Shema Baruch Hu Nafshi Et Hashem V'al Tishkechi Kol Gimulav. What does that mean? My A child shouldn't be nursing, staring at genitals. A child should not be nursing at a time when he's exposed to unclean areas, to dirty areas. The next thing he saw in his life was Mapalatan Shal Rishayim, who perceived that Rishut is not sustainable. And then he foresaw death, and he said Shira. What makes you say that's talking about death? My mashvah yomim ita neemar. Omar Rabba Bar Shila, it's the continuation. We say it in Yana Tichtiv. Tastir panecha yibahelun, tosef rucham yigvaun. So it's a fairish sense of the way that life proceeds through having built in end to particular organisms. Reb Shimi Barukva, Amar Marukva, Avishkiach Kabeda Reb Shimi Ben Pazi. It's either Marukva or was Reb Shimi Barukva who used to often come to Reb Shimi Ben Pazi, and he was Mesader Agarita Kamei Reb Yeshua Ben Levi, and he was the one that used to organize the inyanim of Agarita for Reb Yeshua Ben Levi. So Amar Lei Ma'idetzi Baruch Inarchet Hashem V'Chol Kravayet Shem Kachol. What is that referring to? Now he took it to mean that the question was, what's the business of specifically Kravai? Actually, as we'll see, the focus is on Borchi Nafshi, not on Kravai. But the question was misunderstood. So Omar Lei Borei Shalokim Kemidat Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar Vadam. If you take a look at the artistic element of creation, in which we perceive beauty, the difference between a human artist and the artistry of creation is in its depth. So in other words, it's possible for a human artist to provide the shapes, forms, and impact of beauty upon the eye, but it doesn't have any depth underneath it. So midat basav adam. So he can be tzar tzurah gabei hakotel, okay? You can make a picture. But that picture does not have a billion years of evolution behind it, does it? I mean, eno yakol la'atil baruach neshama kravayim uvdei me'am, there's nothing inside. It's just a picture. It has no depth to it. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, tzar tzurah betoch tzurah. Actually, over here, you want to talk about beauty that you'll never see until you develop cameras that can go inside the womb. But for thousands of years, nobody understood this beauty. So you have a beautiful fetus developing inside of an incredibly complex mechanism, and it's all inside of something which is itself beautiful. U'matil baruach neshama kravayim uvdei me'am. And inside of that, you've got all of the depth of development. And that's what you call artistry. That's why Chana said, and this is Kravai. Kravai is inside, as opposed to the outside. Why referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Tzur? Ein Tzur means Ein Tzayar. You don't find an artist that is the same level of artistry as life itself, do you? And then it says, Ki Ein Biltecha. What does Ein Biltecha mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Manasya. I'll take Ein Biltecha. Ela Ein Levalotecha. There's another very fundamental issue that defines the difference between human art, human creativity, and creation. Because Shalom Midat Kadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar Vadam. Basar Vadam Maaseh Adav Mevalim Oto. Basically, art is an attempt to cheat death. So when a person produces something that is beautiful, he touches Netzach. But that's because his art will survive him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevalim ha'asaf. So the purpose of his art is not self-expression in that sense. And therefore, it's the contrary. In other words, the art that's created has no connection to the sense of netzach of existence itself. So he said, well, that's a beautiful pshat, but it wasn't what I was asking, quite frankly. I mean, I was asking about Baruch Hu Nafshi, not about Kravai. I mean, notice I didn't interrupt. It's okay. So, what I'm asking you is, why does it say five times, basically in a row, between the Tehila Kuf Gimel and Tehila Kuf Dalet, we have five times a mention of Baruch Hinafshi. The truth is, we don't really. We have four times a mention of Baruch Hinafshi and two times a mention of Baruch Hu Hashem. But in the context of the Tehila, we see it as five stages, as we said earlier. We talked about five stages. So why was he talking about his soul? Why was the soul the essence? I mean, why not just Beirachti or Baruchi? I mean, what's the sense of soul particularly? Because David HaMelech sensed that the closest perception that we can have of the nature of existence is our own existence. And the way we view our existence as opposed to our life is what we call neshama, that which emerges from the fact of our physical life. So therefore he said, look, this is such a fundamental tehila in terms of Kabbalah. In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, your neshama fills your body. Because there's no particular element of your body that's alive. It's alive only because it's an organism and has within it that emergent property which we call life, which now turns back and gives chias to the body. Can you see your mind? Can't even see your mind. Certainly don't perceive. You see the fact that you exist because it's your existence that's aware, but it's not something that you can see from outside. Either you experience it directly or you don't see it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is precisely the same way. It's just what is. It's not what's seen. The same way that the universe itself is basically filled with what energizes it. And that is something that we have absolutely no idea. All we talk about is that once it exists, how does it function? But whatever it is that's making it exist, we have no sense of that. So too, the neshama is zonet kol haguf, even though we can't say what particular element is life. We know that if we stop this, we'll stop life. If we stop that, we'll stop. It doesn't mean that we say that life is the beating of the heart, obviously. In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kibayachol, untouchable by any of the elements of the world directly, and neshama is also, in a sense, above and beyond the touchability of the world. You cannot sully it. And in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is isolated, in a sense, as if it's disconnected from the world, the neshama is isolated as if it's disconnected from the elements of life. Therefore, Baruchi Nafshi, because it's only my neshama that can tell the brochas that I am now saying. It's not my intelligence that could have said that. What was meant by saying, and who is like the wise man who can find a compromise in something that seems to be so difficult? That's referring to Mikat Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shiodeh Lasot Pshara Ben Shnei Tzadikim, Ben Chizkiyo LeYishayo. There's a lot of tension between Chizkiyo and Yishayo. And Chizkiyo, when he was really out of touch with Yishayo, Chizkiyo held that the Malchut is something that doesn't chase after Nevi'im, and he felt, Laita Yishayo Gaboy, if Yishayo has something to say, let him come. But what am I supposed to run after? I mean, after all, Eliyahu went to Ahav. Now, Ahav was a bum, and I'm not a bum. So why can't the Navi come to me if Eliyahu Navi was willing to go to Ahav and give him covet? Yishayo, on the other hand, Yishayo Navi says, you know, Chizkiyo should actually come to me, because Yehoram ben Ahav goes to Elisha to find out what's with him. So when it's something that is personal, you make yourself, so to speak, the Talmud of the Navi. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in order to get the two of them together? He makes Chizkiyo sick. And then he tells Yishayo, okay, there's nothing wrong with being Mevaker Chole. Is there going to be Mevaker Chole? So Yishayo can now go to be Mevaker Chole. Like Mevaker Chole. Shenema bayamim ahim chala Chizkiyo lamut. Vayavei elav Yishayo ben Amoz HaNavi. Now, the truth is that this is a little bit strange, because Yishayo didn't come to Chizkiyo to be Mevaker Chole. He came to Chizkiyo to tell him that he's dead, and that God has been gozer mavet on him, and that was a particular shlichut. It had nothing to do with bikur cholim. Why does the Gemara pretend that this has to do with mikach chacham umiyodei apesha davar? What's more is that the solution to Chizkiyo's death, Chizkiyo felt, was in bridging the gap between himself and Yishayo through marriage, which is interesting. So in other words, it's clear that there's something to do with the nature of that, the finding of apesha davar that provided Chizkiyo with his way out, and that provided Klal Yisrael with misery in the form of Chizkiyo's children, who were the most vicious, worst malachim that we had. But in any event, so Yishayo ben Amoz sent him, Vayom Elav, Ko Ama Hashem, Tzav Lebetcha, Ki Meit Ata V'lo Tichyeh. Better write your will, because you're dead. And you're not going to survive. I mean, usually when people are dead, they're not going to survive. I mean, so Mikey, meta tava lo tichyeh. I mean, I should imagine if somebody's dead, he won't be alive. No, he means meta tava olam hazeh, velo tichyeh olam haba. It means you're not only dead in this world, you lost your olam haba. So Chizkiyahu says to me, Mikey, hi, what's this about? Amalei mishum dala sakta b'piriya v'rivya. You know, they have children. You need to know how he managed, what atkidei kach, his personal things you got to know about. But actually, he was. We'll see that he was looking for a wife in a moment. What do you mean? I can't have children. I saw in Ruach HaKodesh, the nafka minoi boni de lomalo. I'm going to have rotten children. What do I need to bring rotten children into the world for? So Yeshayo says to him, listen, your children are your productions. Children are children. As far as what happens to them, it's none of your damn business, basically. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. History is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. You have your business. Your business is to stick to mitzvahs and to do what you can do. You have a mitzvah period of Arivia? Go get married and have children. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do with those children, that's his business. The fact that you don't like it, your role was not given to you to like or dislike. So he said to him, okay, then I have an idea. Why don't you give me your daughter to marry? Havli Bartach, give me your daughter. And, I mean, after all, you believe it doesn't matter, right? I mean, so, if it doesn't work out, that's not a problem. And on the other hand, I mean, between the two of us, we've got some schuyot. So maybe the schuds of Yeshayahu HaNavi and Chizkiyahu HaMelech together will provide a change in our children. So Yeshayahu says, well, you know, maybe it would have been a good idea, but you're dead, remember? You forgot. What are we talking about marriage for? Kiss it all goodbye, honey babes. I'm like, Ben Amos, listen here, Ben Amos. Did you finish your Nevi'ahs? Your job is over. Thank you. Out. I have a Kabbalah from my grandfather. My great-grandfather was David HaMelech. David HaMelech also got a message like that, basically. Yeah, of course, a relative. I am a Mekubal from my Yudah. Obviously, I have no Shaychus or Teramalchus. I mean, my Beit Avi Abba over here is in terms of David HaMelech and his Achrayut, which you apparently don't share. I mean, and that is when David HaMelech saw the Malach Hashem with a sword in his hand coming out to destroy over Yerushalayim and the Makam HaMikdash. So what did he say? All is lost. He immediately started to pray and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Rachamim and to take it away. So wait, you're more than that? No more than that. So you're a threat. I will deal with the threat. Thank you. Goodbye. I have things to do. So in Afilu Kherv Khadam Unakada Tavaroshal Adam, even if a man's got a sharp sword across his neck, which is what David HaMelech saw, Ayim Nats, Mumin Rachamim, you'll throw up your hands and say it's all over. There's no such thing. Itmar Nami, Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Lezer, Domer Tarvayu, Afilu Kherv Khadam Unakada Tavaroshal Adam, Ayim Nats, Mumin Rachamim, never give up. And never feel that it's wrong to do whatever you can to change the relationship that brought about this situation. As God is shechting me, all of my hope is to Him. So I mean, what, this is certainly not worse than that. Omar Abi Chana, what? What? You don't want to be shameful on me. We'll see how much time we have. Omer Rav Chanan, remember they call this the blockbuster bath, you know. Omer Rav Chanan, afilu ba'ala chalomot, omer lo la'adam, l'machahu meit, ayim na'atz b'amen ha'rachamim. Said Rav Chanan, even if the ba'ala chalomot tells a person, tomorrow you're dead, you should still pray. Shenemar ki barov ha'chalomot v'havalim, dreams, prophecies, some nonsense, dvorim harbei, ki et elokim yirah, the thing to do is to fear the Lord. So what does Chizkiyahu do? He turns aside from Yeshayahu, if he's not there. Miyad v'yasev Chizkiyahu panav al hakir v'yitpalel al Hashem. He turns his face to the wall, dismisses Yeshayahu, and starts to pray immediately. Now, the question is, for a moment, what is this Bala Chalamot? Because it's a little bit strange. I mean, we just got finished talking about, even if a Navi is talking about it, he's saying, afilu Bala Chalamot. Who the heck is a Bala Chalamot? So there's some who learn, Marsha included, that the meaning of Bala Chalamot is saying, even if all you had was a dream that could have been coming from God knows what ridiculous sources, even that is enough to get a person to pray. I mean, this is the other end of the story. It's not connected to the even if you've lost hope, right? But even if you have a reason to be upset and to worry, you should immediately be mabah. And that's a very interesting shot. There's other approaches. There's a Kabbalah from Megra that a Nevi'ah in terms of a dream that talks about Lamach, or that is short term, is meant to be taken seriously. If it's long term, you know, it's all Nostradamus, who cares? Anything happens long term. But if something is immediate, so the person should respond to it as having some meaning. Anyway, why did he turn to the wall? Say, my kir. What's the meaning of Vayasif Yisio Barevela kir? Omer Rebbe Shimon, the Lokish, it means mikirot libo. He turned to the insides of his own heart. So he brought out his deepest feelings and concerns. Shenemar, may I, ochila. My inside, my guts, I'm pouring out. Kilot libi, this is why we're saying this. Kilot libi, omali is what it says. So that means the insides of my heart are that which speaks out in tefillah. Reb Levi Omer aliske hakir. It's the asek of walls that he was talking about. He said to Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, there was a woman, Isha Shunamit. All she did was she made a little wall. Kirachat ktana. And because of that, hecheyeta et bina, you actually, when her child died, you went ahead now, and Elisha gave him life. So Avia ba shechipata echal kulo bekesev ubezahav. Alakat kama bekama. Forget about a little wall. I mean, my grandfather built the Beit HaMikdash, covered everything with gold. That's not a little wall. That's a man who dedicated his life to building your house. So for sure, you should remember me to be mechaya me, and I'm not even dead yet. Zechor na et asher talakti b'fanecha be'emet uvelev shalem v'atov be'inecha asiti. Remember how I've been walking in front of you in truth with a full heart, doing what it is that you felt was good. What does that mean? Doing what you felt was good. No, it's not something that is clearly good to everybody, right? Atov be'inecha asiti means there were some risks that I took, or things that I figured out are good, and they were tov be'inecha. You felt they were good. Might have been a lot of people didn't feel they were good, but people didn't realize that they were good. But what are those things? What is it referring to? Now, on the surface, Rashi says earlier that this is really the reason that we've had this whole story here, since it doesn't connect to anything. Why are we suddenly in the middle of the story of this? Yo, how did we get there? Because what it is that he's mispoel mikirat libo is that he was sashtamach gula l'tfilah. He was aimed on the necessity of smichut gula l'tfilah. Rabbi Levi says, I did something that you thought was good that nobody else did. I was gonez sefer refuot. There used to be a sefer which people could be osek in to get themselves well. It was a whole body of knowledge about medicine, which he hid, because people relied on medicine as opposed to praying, and he thought that it's just too much. So he hid the Sefer Refuot, and all these cancer patients are screaming and yelling, but he's claiming, Atov be'inecha asiti. That's the way most of the Mefarshim read. Of course, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos has his own approach, which is so classically Rambam. He says, he learned the Sefer Refuot, because the Sefer Refuot included in it many elements of dealing with poisons, since that was a big thing in those days, as you know. Anybody who's read Dune knows how important poisons are, you know. So because of that, people could learn too much about poisons from it. So he figured it's better to hide the whole book, because as long as you're reading about the refuah, you also learn about the maka. Tana Rabbanan. Actually, Shishad Varim Asal Chizkiyo. Now, Chizkiyo did six rather brazen things, and three of them, the Chachamim agreed with him. Three of them, they didn't agree with him. And when he's referring, talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Atov be'inecha asiti. The risks that I took, I did what was right in your eyes. And what is he referring to? Al Shlosha Hodilo, there were three things that he did that the Chachomim agreed with. One is the one we just read. Ganad Sefer Refuot, Vahodulo. The other thing he did, which was unbelievable, is that he ground up the Nefesh HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now this is like, oh my God. I mean, this is a big thing, you understand? This was the thing that saved everyone in the Midbar, and he comes and he grinds it up. I mean, so it says, because Ad Yamava, you Mekatrim Lov, Vikarulo Nefushtan, they had turned it into an Avodah Zarah. It's an Avodah Zarah. It smells like it's just a piece of garbage. Burn it, throw it out. It doesn't mean anything to me, right? So, as the Gemara Chulin said, I understand. I mean, he's the first guy that went out to destroy Avodah Zarah. Look how many Malachim went out to destroy Avodah Zarah. Always it comes along Mr. Chifio. After centuries of burning Avodah Zarah, and he's decided. Brilliant. Okay, so this is a tremendously gutsy thing to do. And he went ahead and did it. And they said he was right. The other thing that he did was Girer Atzmot Aviv al Mitashel Chavalim. When Achaz died, instead of making a grand royal funeral for him, he dragged his body out on a very simple stretcher and he put him into the grave. Why? Because his father was a Russian. He didn't want people respecting Rishas. It was part of his whole tshuva. And even on that, Hodulo. Actually, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin he did it so that his father would have a kapara. Here it doesn't mention it. There were three things that they did not agree to him. One of them was, this is something that our tour guides live with all the time, Ad Hayom, Satam Megichon. He was the one who closed off the Gihon, made the famous underground tunnel to bring the water into Yerushalayim and so on. And he wanted to make sure that an enemy that was in place around the walls of Yerushalayim would not have a water supply. They held that was wrong. Furthermore, he was the first one for disengagement. He took off the doors from the Heichal and he said, look, well, we need doors from the Heichal that are made out of gold. Better we should have the Heichal. So he sent the doors of the Heichal as tribute to the king of Ashur to prevent the defeat of Yerushalayim. They didn't agree that that was the correct move. There Nisan b'Nisan v'lohudulo. Not only that, but after it was already Nisan, he decided because of a problem of Tum'ah that year, that it had to do with the whole war with Sancheirat. People would be tamei. So he said, okay, you know what, let's make it Adar Sheni. Well, Pesach later, by that time, everyone will be taught. Problem was, it was already Nisan. It wasn't really Nisan, because that's the Gemara. I mean, that's a Farish Apostle. You can't do that. You can't turn arbitrarily non-Nisan into Nisan. So what did he do? Oh, Ta'ab b'dishmuel. Yomar Shmuel, in abrimat ha-shana b'yom shloshim shel Adar. Once it's already the 30th of Adar, you can't now be Makadish to Chodesh, Richie, and turn it into Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Fascinating, we should be learning this today. Huh? You cannot turn it into Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni because it's too late. You should have thought of that before. Because since it's already a day which is Roi to be Nisan, had this not been Mechodesh Mo'uber, you can't change it and say, wait, you still got another day. So we call this the last day of Adar, and now we'll turn tomorrow into the first day of Nisan. So we still got time, right? And that Shmuel says you can't do that. Because it's already ra'ui to be Nisan today if the Chodesh is not Mo'uber. And therefore, he held Ho'il v'ra'ui. What do you mean it's ra'ui? Is it Nisan yet? It's the last day of Adar. Why can't we still decide that it's the tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni? That he did wrong, and they weren't in agreement with him. So a person who mentions how great he is, when he gets what he's asking for, it's made clear to him, you ain't so great after all. But someone who's taller in other people's greatness, when he's given, on the contrary, it's given to him. Let's take a look at Moshe. Moshe, when he was Mevakish Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Maisa Egel. So what did he say? He said, so he didn't mention himself and how great a leader I am and in my schools. He said, remember the Ovis. So what happens? Talulo b'skut atzmo in the Torah, it says, Vayomel ha-shmidein, God had intended to destroy Klal Yisrael, lulei Moshe b'chiro, amad b'peretz l'fanav, if it was not for his great chosen Moshe who stood there and fought it out with him. Okay, so apparently it's not because of the schus of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. It says, it's because of Moshe. Moshe ein kein, Chizkiyahu, who was told of the schut atzmo, because he says, Zechor na atasher talakti l'fanecha, remember me. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, he doesn't remember he. Because Tavolo B'Zchut Acharim, Shinema, the Ganoti El Ha'ir HaZot Lo Shi'ah, his response to the Tevila of Chizkiyo, Legabi Sancheirav was, yes, I will indeed save this city, but not for you. L'ma'ani L'ma'an David Abdi. It's in the Schutz of David. I know the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, actually, this is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pointed out in a drasha of the Pasuk. My dechtivi, neilu shalom mar limar. It was a letter of peace, but very bitter. What is it referring to? Afilu b'sha'ash shigeru HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom. Even when he got the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of peace in our times, it was not a happy message. Marlo is a bitter message. Because it went out of its way to attribute that peace, like a slap in the face. Don't think it has something to do with what you said about remembering how great you are. Then, since we've mentioned now the kirot libo, which were a remes to the kirot of the Shunamit, what were those kirot? So she says to her husband, why don't we make him a wall? Kir ktana. What does that mean, make a wall? I mean, if you're going to add a room, you can't just make a wall. So what is she referring to? So Rav Shmuel say, chadamar aliyapu ahayta v'kirua. Kir, in the sense over here, means to provide a roof on a second floor where she already had building rights and the walls were up. So she said, okay, let's put on a korak. Korat Gag. Let's put a top on it. So that way we'll have an attic, and he can stay in the attic. And the other man, the Yomar, says, actually, it was an achsadragdolaita. It was actually a porch that had already been enclosed. And what they did was they built a wall in the middle of the porch so that part of it would still be a good porch. The Jabrashi is, that's the reference to Kirat Libo. It makes it more clear why it's one kir kitana, where the hecha was mechupask, and why it's not a reference to the roof of the hecha, it's a reference to the walls of the hecha. The other man, the Yomar, says, we don't know who it is, but Chadomar, that the meaning of it is actually a simple wall that was put between two parts of an aksadra. So the meaning, the mandiyam, so bishleim and the mandiyam, it's an aksadra, that explains why it's a wall. But according to the mandiyam, that's an aliyah, why do you say it's a kir? Where's the wall? So the answer is shikiruhu, that we provided, as Aaron just told us, that we provided a wall for the open area, or shikiruhu, that we covered it. Bishleim and the mandiyam, aliyah, haita, it says aliyat kir, tana. So that makes sense. But Lamad Yomer Achzadra, why do we call it the Aliyah? It's not an attic. According to you, it's just a porch. It's a closed porch. It means Aliyah means the best. It doesn't mean the attic. Aliyah means Mi'ulah Shebebatim, what the Sochnut would have you believe. V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'mnora. And let's furnish it just with the basics. You know, a bed, a writing table with a little chair, and a lamp. In terms of determining whether you should put yourself in a position of dependency on other people who want to do good for you. Look, Elisha was ready to accept this room with all of its furnishings, and he came and he would stay there. So it's clearly, there's nothing wrong with that in certain situations. On the other hand, Shmuel would never go anywhere without bringing a camper with him. He would stay in his camper, and in the camper he had everything he needed, and that was his home. He basically lived in a motorhome. So you see that he didn't want to be dependent on anybody. So if you don't want to be Nana, you can. There's nothing stuck up about that. If you want to come and visit people in your own camper, you can say, "I'm a chashul yur. I don't want to accept your iruach." Not true. Shmuel never did that. Shemar with the shuvator, amatati sham beito vermegiochan shekol makom shalach sham beito. Yeah, wherever he would go, that was his home. How could it be his own home? He obviously had a Winnebago. Vatomer el isha. So she says to her husband, "Hinena yadati ki ish Elohim kadosh. I know that this is a holy man." So Rabbi Yisrael Bichanina, why does she have to tell her husband she knows he's a holy man? I mean, the husband couldn't see he's a holy man. Obviously, a woman has a more intuitive grasp of her guest. She knows who to like and who not to like. But okay, it's one thing to say he's a Isha Elohim. I mean, how does she know he's personally holy? Kadosh minayada. Rabbi Shmuel Chada Mashalor Rata Zvuv Alvel Shulchano. She saw that wherever he was eating, there were no flies. So clearly, he was emanating this Kedusha that flies couldn't be mitkarev to. Others say that there was linen that was very clean, and she never found any stains on it. So it must be that this is a man who is very holy. Kadoshu, this means who. Notice this rest is Kadosh who. Omer Yes Rebbe Chanina, who Kadosh? He is very holy, but don't look at that. That kid that's with him is a disaster. So she picked out right away that Gehazi is not a holy kind of guy. And sure enough, it turns out in the end, Vayigash Gehazi lahotfa, Gehazi came to push her away, and Omer Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, the hatfa is a notrikun. Hatfa is hod yafya, her most beautiful part. So that was, he grabbed her by her breast, pretending he's just pushing her away. So she knew what kind of guy he was. Over a lot tamid, Omer Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Mishum Rebbe Yosef Ben Yaakov, she's comparing the iruach of a tamid chacham to the korban tamid. Kol ha-me'areh tamid chacham betoch beito, u'me'aneo minechasav, ma'aleh alav ha-katuv ki ilu makriv tamidim. It's as if you brought the korban tamid. The Omer Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Mishum Rebbe Yosef Ben Yaakov, al ya'amod adam b'makom gavoa, v'yitpelel al b'makom namoch v'yitpelel, sh'ne'emar mima'amakim k'ratif ha-Hashem. So a person should always be standing on a low area when he prays. This was a big issue in the German schools. They would build it up, like you have a walk up, and the Shviach Tzibur would stay there instead of going back to the Omud, because that was the minhag in the Reform, as was the minhag in the church. So that's one of the big issues. You should be daven. You don't need to go further down once you're in Baltimore. So it says, be ma'amakim karati chashem. Downwards, yeah. So a person should view himself not as arrogant standing up there on a bima, but rather he should be standing down on the level of the floor or below. Also, when a person is praying, his feet should be placed together as if they're just one foot. Because the malachim, the person in that moment, is a mitzvah b'nei Hashchina, stands as if it's a single regel that is placed straight.
I guess the malachim snowboard instead of skiing.
You're speaking from bitter personal experience. Don't eat bloody. It means don't eat something before you've davened. A guy who sits, he drinks. He's got his little coffee and his shtickle mizenes, and then he's ready to daven. So Allah katuv omer, "Voti hishlachta achrei gavecha." Me, you throw behind your back. Al tikre gavecha ela geecha means you throw me behind your arrogance. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'acha shenitka ezer. After this guy has managed to take care of all of his profound personal needs, now he comes to be makabel alav malchus shamayim. I mean, after all, you know, you got to keep first things first. I understand the guy. Get him out of here. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua Shmuel. Allah Rabbi Yehoshua Omer at shalosh shaot. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua Shmuel halachak Rabbi Yehoshua that the tefillat, kriyat shema is okay until 3 hours in the day. Akorei mikan ve'elach lo hifsid. But from then on, it's like reading in the Torah. You cannot say the Birchot Kriyat Shema at that point. What? It's b'feirushin abraita, not like that. That even though we're calling it in the Mishnah Kilu Korei BaTorah, you could still read Birchot Kriyat Shema, even though you won't be Yotzei Kriyat Shema. To Yufta, Rav Chisda, you're right, to Yufta, boy, that's wrong, he's wrong. Can't be more wrong than that. Now the implications of why he's wrong, that already is a very serious machloket that has vast implications. Because some learn he's wrong because the dinim of Birchot Kriyat Shema are subsidiary to Tefillah. And even though we have them surrounding Kriyat Shema, they're part of Tefillah, as we spoke about the Smichut of Geula LeTefillah. But if that's true, then the implication is that they're kosher as long as Tefillah is kosher, which means you've got another hour, basically. Okay, so if you can daven until 4 hours in the day, you could say Birchot Kriyat Shema until 4 hours in the day. You certainly can't go beyond that. The Rambam says that the dinim of the Birchot Kriyat Shema can be said any time during the day, which the Kesef Mishnah says implies that the Rambam holds that Zman Kriyat Shema is any time during the day. And it's just the Rabbanan who said, okay, let's skip Kafka to Ad Shalosh Shaot. However, that's because he's making an assumption. His assumption is that the Birkot Kriyat Shema are linked either to Kriyat Shema or to Tefillah. Since it can't daven all day long, because it's after Zman Tefillah, the only other explanation is that really Zman Kriyat Shema is Kol Hayom, because it gives us all kinds of problems about how to understand the Korei BaTorah, if that's the case. Others learn, as we'll see, that and I've already hinted at a number of times before, that there is a relationship between Kriyat Shema and Limud Torah itself, and this Mishnah is clearly indicating that. And it's so important that the Torah Kriyat Shema, Babokru, Be'erev, is sufficient to be Yotze, Vihigita Bam, both Yomam Valayla, so that there's a direct connection to Torah, and we're going to see later on that you can actually be Yotze, the Birkot HaTorah, if you say Birkot Kriyat Shema. Therefore, somebody who didn't say Birkot HaTorah before saying Shema in the morning has got a problem because he was already Yotzei by saying the Birkot Kriyat Shema. But if that's the case, then the brachot are kavua neither on Shema nor on Tefillah, but may exist somewhere out there in their own space in terms of their relationship to the broader sense of Shema's relationship. And again, we'll talk about this tomorrow in our halacha review. But this Tiyufta, Rav Chisda, is not just a simple idea. We've got to figure out why he was wrong. Because certainly on the surface you would say, look, I mean, if the Mishnah is saying it's too late to say Shema, but you're not mafsid, I mean, so, but of course it only means it's Korei BaTorah. You can't say Birkos Kriyat Shema. Certainly, if you think that Birkos Kriyat Shema are brachot on Shema, like a brachot on mitzvah, I say, how can you say the brachot Kriyat Shema? That's what Rav Chisda apparently took for granted. So I'm not going to be yotzei to the mitzvah. How can I say the bracha? Tanya, so if you have to Rav Chisda, Ikri Amina, others say that in fact it was Rav Chisda himself who suggested that the meaning of Akorei Mikan Ve'el Lo Yifsid is precisely that. Ikri Amina, Rav Chisda, Amaruk, for my Lo Yifsid means, you know, you think that it's too late, you've already lost out. You didn't lose out on the brachot. You could still say those brachot. Lo yifsid brachot. In this version, the braita, which previously was a tiyufta to Rav Chisda, here is brought as a raya to Rav Chisda, that hakorei mikan ve'elach lo yifsid, ki adam shekorei batorah, avam mevarech u'shtay lefanev yachat l'achareha. Omer Rabbi Moni, gadol hakorei kriyat shema ba'onata, yoter me'osek batorah. Somebody who reads Kriyat Shema in its correct time is greater than someone who's being Osek B'Torah. Now Tosfos says, don't think that this means that it's Nogea the Halacha of Bitul Torah, because the truth is that we would be posek anyway for a mitzvah that is B'Shaita, and it doesn't prove that it's greater, it's just what you gotta do. Otherwise you could say, the fact that I have to be posek to do a mitzvah, which would be any mitzvah, is Gadol for Osek B'Torah, but it says the opposite, it's Keneged Kulam. I mean, so clearly it's not in terms of its value, it's just there's different dinim. What it means over here is something else completely. It's talking about the concept of the chashivut of what you're doing, which on the surface doesn't make any sense, because if you're being kari kriyat shema bizmana, so you have two things. You're being osik b'torah and you're reading kriyat shema. So you have somebody, I need somebody to tell me that two is better than one? Ah, but notice that he says, osik, osik, you're telling me osik b'torah. Because what it says over here is ka'adam ha-korei b'torah. Kriya b'torah is not equivalent to osik b'torah. But so then how does it derive it from here? Aha. Put that in your pipes and smoke it. And as Rashi says over here. Kibbutz Schar Keosek Batorah. So in other words, there's something about reading Kriyat Shema that is more than simply saying Psukim. We're getting closer in, we're zeroing in to a special relationship between Shema and Limud HaTorah. Of course, all of the dinim of Limud HaTorah, and Uschayev in Limud HaTorah, and so on, are all derived from the Limud HaTemesom, and all of that, which are a chelik of the mitzvahs listed in Kriyat Shema. So it's not coincidental that that's how we relate to Kriyat HaTorah and Shema. Sorry.